Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
I am continuing a series on how to love as Christ loves, since he commands us to do that and empowers us to do that. The command comes from John 15, love one another as I have loved you. And the love of Christ has three essential components, divine love. There's a receiving, and that is symbolized by baptism as a wonderful sacrament. God doesn't ask us to love without giving us the love with which to love God and others and yourself. The second is receiving. Is sharing what you have received, and the sacrament there is the Lord's Supper, Eucharist. And third is giving to others what it is you have shared and previously received, and foot washing, as we shall see later in the series, is the sacrament of self-giving love, as Jesus demonstrated there at the Last Supper. Well, as most all of you know, it is difficult to receive love. So that's what I have been talking about, the barriers, the difficulties we find in letting love in. Certainly the love of God, let alone the love of others. And let me just name them, because I've been talking about them, as we will quickly get to healing and continue and hopefully complete that subject this morning. There are at least 10 primary barriers to our receiving, letting in, believing in, opening ourselves to God's love in Christ. One is the doubt that God exists. So if you don't believe there's a God, you're not going to open to that God. And the heck of it is, we need to believe before God reveals God's self. That'll be another whole segment. Second, the doubt that God knows or cares for you. Even if there is a God, God doesn't know or care about me. That's an untruth, but that can block you from seeking God. Third, indifference or lack of belief in love itself. That's a tough one. I've had that moment in my life where I doubted that. I doubted love at all. I doubted love completely, and until I realized I was capable of loving. And if I was capable of loving, surely I'm not the only person in the world. And that helped open me to the love of others, ultimately to the love of God. An absence of the desire for God. That can just be shut off for a variety of reasons, but we need to pray, God, give me a greater desire for you. The desire for God, the longing for God, is the beginning of holiness, and it is actually a gift of God. You can pray, God, give me a greater desire for you. A fifth, the sense that you've not earned God's love. We want to prove ourselves. We want to be loved for who we are, what we do. And connected with that is the belief that you are unworthy. Yet God's love itself is that which grants you worth. As those of you who have children, you love them, and your love for them grants them the worth they have to you. Kind of difficult to understand that until you're a parent. Now, seven, unforgiveness and guilt from the past. We'll come back to that in the context of healing shortly. Eight, the fear of what God might ask you to do. I've had that conversation with people. Well, I'm kind of afraid of religious life. You know, God might ask me to give up something I don't want to give up. Might ask me to go somewhere and be a missionary. Might ask me to take a 2/3 salary cut, which is what I took in 1972 when I went from teaching psychology at a college to being a student pastor. Well, it's what I wanted to do. So, yeah, but that's a serious issue. But the key is, God, I don't believe, is going to ask you to do something you really don't want to do, and that God hasn't prepared you to do it, if nothing else, in giving you the desire to do that. Listen to your heart. Listen to the desire. in you. God is so great that God builds in the desire to do that which God actually wants us to do, seeks for us to do, and will enable us to do it. 9, fear of what, which is connected to the last one, fear of what God might ask you to give up. Just like Jesus asked that young rich person to give everything up, sell it to the poor, everything he had, and follow him. The guy didn't want to give everything up, so he turns and leaves. And Peter says, Lord, haven't we given everything up? I mean, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's the deal. Then Jesus says, okay, you've given everything up. You've walked through that narrow door to me, but then you're going to have bounty on the other side. So there may be a giving up because we need to focus on God and desire God rather than all of our possessions. I was talking to someone just the other day. We made a comment about, and they have a large home, and they've lived there a long time. And he said, you know, he looked at me and he said, we have a lot of possessions. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I've got possessions I probably haven't looked at in 20, 30, 40 years. I think sometimes I should just box it up and get rid of it. Yeah, look at people's garages. Give up for the sake of receiving more bounty in Christ. And then finally, which we'll spend our time with, is the unhealed wounds of heart and history. As I said last time, there are four basic kinds of scriptural Christian healing. The physical healing, which is the healing of the body. The healing of the soul, the psychic healing, which really is inner healing. And connected with that, they're all interconnected, my friends, is spiritual healing. That's really the healing of relationships and centers on forgiveness. And finally, deliverance. Deliverance has to do with the freedom from the demonic forces of life that would bind us, like addiction. And I'll come back to that. I talked last time about physical healing and the fact that we may be healed physically, but we're only going to be in this planet for hopefully a long time, of course. But our bodies are designed to wear out. And I hope and pray and believe that there's a much better place we're going to, and it's okay, and we'll have a spiritual body. As the Apostle Paul talks about, there will be a magnificent spiritual body that will never decay in what is to come. Then inner healing, the healing of memories, that's really focused on being healed of those wounds that others have inflicted us with. Okay. Abuse of various kinds, rejection, the things that people have done against us. I told you that for a 6-year period, I was full time in private practice. I never advertised, but people came to me because they understood in Des Moines that not only would I do the traditional kind of counseling or psychotherapy, but that for those who are open, were open to it, I also prayed with them. I mean, sometimes we'd be praying 30, 40, 50 minutes, going back into a memory, the healing of memories. Let me give an example of one of those special events. It was amazing when you would, this is the way it is, folks, when I would invite Christ in, it would be preparatory before we would pray together for any length of time, and you wouldn't have to hold hands. The person could be across the room from you. It really didn't matter. You were going to enter into a kind of spiritual union. You were praying together, and of course I would invite protection from the Spirit, and that Jesus would come and take charge of the entire prayer. That would lead. He would lead us to healing, wholeness, the freedom from the pains, the angers, the fears, the guilts of the past. Well, let me tell you a story about a Nebraska truck driver who came to me at the end of his fourth marriage, and he was in his, you know, late 30s, early 40s. He said, "I can't do this anymore. I have a problem with women. I've got to get to the source of my inability to remain committed to another woman. I think I'm going to be that way, but then I must be afraid, and I find myself wandering. And the rest is ugly." He was really tormented. And so we had a few sessions, and this one particular session, and he was raised on a farm in Nebraska. And of course, I asked him, "Tell me about your mother," and he went on about how mean she was, the things that she did that hurt him, and his fear and anger against women that generated from his relationship, above all, generated from his relationship with his mother. And I said, "Okay, let's go back and have a healing of memories." And so we prayed, and I don't explain how this works, okay? But you're praying with someone, and it's like one or the other of you will see or sense something, and the other's right there. It's really amazing. And so, and what you want is to invite Jesus not only to take charge, but to be in the middle of it, as if Christ was there and can now heal what needed to be healed even back then. So here it was. There was a field next to this young man's home, and now he was six or seven, and Jesus was playing catch with him in this field. That's how it starts. He and I were together in prayer, eyes were closed, we're having this visualization, healing of memories. He's back to 6 or 7, playing catch with Jesus. Then his mother opens the back door and calls him. "Come home, blah, blah, I won't give his name. Come home." And he's expecting her, of course, to have that angry look. She was just so angry all the time. But that's his memory. Got it? Okay, so we ran. I was there in spirit. I didn't run, but we imaged this man and Jesus kind of running home into the back door. And I will never forget this. Then all at once, this man started weeping. His eyes were closed, but he was weeping. And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "My mother, she's smiling at me. I forgot that she smiled at me." See, his memory was select and had, in his anger, perverted the fact that his mother did smile. His mother, in her way, did love him. Okay, so that, you know, was the way in. We went inside, and I had it that his mother made hot cookies, and so he and Jesus, who was there, of course, and his mother had the hot cookies, and it was just this wonderful time, unlike anything he had remembered because of things that later happened. Okay, to make a long story short, we had some other sessions, but this was an epiphany for this man. This was a turnaround, his realization that his mother wasn't as bad as he had thought. Well, this would lead ultimately for a healing, both of his memories, because Christ was with him, and also in this very first session, he had a dialogue with Jesus, and then they played ping pong, and Jesus was comforting him that his mother really did love him, and that he was there, Jesus was there throughout. It was just beautiful. Wow. Okay, fast forward 6-7 years. I get a phone call one night from this guy who's back driving trucks from Nebraska, and he's been remarried for a year, and it's going great. And he says, "This time, this is it. I'm never going to wander again." The healing for him was complete. Now, I don't know if that happened the rest of his life, but this is just one story. Oh, I've got others. Of the fact that There is no place God cannot go. There is no healing from which we cannot be healed by God's touch. Nothing. And I think it's a good time for a brief break as we let this in.
The Chamberlain Heating and Air Conditioning text line on KWPC reminds you to keep cool this summer with York Air Conditioners. Call 563-263-1941.
Hi, this is Jason Clerk DeRoose. Have you heard about what's new at Uptown Motors? Our new body shop is now open. We have been locally owned and operated for over 50 years. We sell quality cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs at affordable prices in a no-pressure environment. Come see us next to Applebee's.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. High temperatures reach up to 86 today under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 69. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, 91. Upper 80s Tuesday and Wednesday with storms both days. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Does your AC need to be kicked to the curb? Install a new York air conditioner with confidence. Call Chamberlain Heating and Air Conditioning today. 563-263-1941.
Here we are back. I'm going to shift now because we just have to get through this, and there's a lot to talk about. I want to talk about spiritual healing, the healing of forgiveness, which first of all amounts to our own receiving forgiveness. I could ask you a question, as I have many people over the years, for what have you not forgiven yourself? And I think it's important to be in touch with that, our own unforgiveness, because unforgiveness blocks love. Where there is unforgiveness, it is as if a person who's thirsty will not open his or her mouth, saying, no, I will not let myself enjoy water. It's better to starve. I'll be mad at me. I'll take it out of myself. And guilt. Ugh. Unforgiveness and guilt, the gift that keeps on giving. There's a lot of guilt out there, but we don't want to call it guilt. We have difficulty apologizing. We have difficulty recognizing our own sin. And I'm defining sin as the willful transgression, conscious, willful transgression of love, of the law of love. And we know when we've hurt somebody, when we've lied, whatever it is, been unfaithful, cheated a person, not been there when we said we were. I will spend an entire session, but I don't want to take the time today, on the nature of forgiveness, why it's so important, why Jesus came to forgive us, and the fact that we need to face our own, well, sinfulness. I know it's a bad word. People don't like it. Here's what sin. Sin, originally in the Hebrew, comes from archery. It's simple. It means to miss the mark. So if we have any archers out there, you know, you aim at the mark, and if you miss it, you sin. God sets the mark. These are God's expectations. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to be. And when we miss that, then we sin. We can be forgiven. And hey, okay, here's another set of arrows. Try it again. Move closer. God is a God who forgives so we can get to start over again. We need to learn how to forgive ourselves, how to be forgiven and to feel it, and how to forgive others. So the spiritual forgiveness, first of all, it relates to forgiving other people for what they've done to us. That unforgiveness, like me and my stepfather, years ago, another story, for which, thank God, a long, long time ago, I finally forgave him for who he was, a miserable person. That freed me, you see, to move on with my life and to be able to receive love and to love greater. So there's spiritual forgiving ourselves and forgiving other people. Now, some of us don't think we're very guilty, or we haven't really done anything for which we need to forgive ourselves. So I think of the Jesus parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee is Mr. Religious. Yay, am I cool. The Pharisee was a hated in Israel. I mean, not the Pharisee, the tax collector, because he was collecting taxes for Rome, and they were an oppressed people. So here's the story. The tax collector goes up to pray, and he's there by the temple, and he's praying to God. And he looks over, and he sees this tax collector not getting too near the altar of God, but standing back, his head bowed, beating his chest, saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." So the Pharisee says, "Oh, God, I do this for you. I'll do that for you. Oh, thank God I'm not that guy." And Jesus says, guess who goes home right with God? Not Mr. Right, not the Pharisee, but the tax collector. We all stand in need of forgiveness. I remember I had a parishioner, a very fine man, who confessed to me that he didn't like to say the confession that we sometimes would say because he didn't feel guilty for doing anything. Okay, if that's how I feel, that's fine. But let me see, the forgiveness of others begins with the forgiveness of ourselves, and the forgiveness of ourselves, you can follow this logic, means receiving God's forgiveness for sins known and unknown, for things we've done and maybe we didn't know. So I have told people, I am not guilty of those sins which you do not know I can commit. Well, sin is a willful or conscious violation of the law of love. So I've sinned and didn't realize it. I still ask to be forgiven if I've hurt anybody, right? Here's an interesting story. Actually, in the same chapter, Matthew 18, that Jesus tells us about what you have to do if somebody hurts you, wounds you, in order for you to forgive them. All right, we'll come to that. He tells this parable of the ungrateful servant. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one owed him 10,000 talents, which is more than he could pay in a lifetime, was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions and payment be made, which means his life is essentially over. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt, the entire debt. But that same slave, when he went out, came upon his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. That's the day's pay or 100 days. It's nothing, $25. And seizing him by the throat, said, "Pay me what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. But he refused. He went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I have mercy on you?" And in anger, the lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt, which, of course, he would never pay. This is far worse than Guantanamo. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Well, that's not easy. But the idea is, in this Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." As we forgive others, so God forgives us. That's what Mark says also in the 11th chapter. Ask, forgive those who wounded you, that you may be open to receive the forgiveness of God, who's already forgiven you. But until you become forgiving, you can't let in, you can't receive the forgiveness God has given you, because in your unforgiving anger, whether it's against yourself or someone else, you're going to say no to the forgiveness. I hope that makes sense. God has forgiven us. That's the justification, to forgive yourselves and not to walk around with the wounds of unforgiveness and guilt and anger because people are who they are and they've done what they have done. And, you know, wow. I've worked with people who were wounded, for example, let's say whose mother and her father never said, "I loved you." And then I would ask the question, well, did their mother or father ever tell them that they love them? Well, probably not. So maybe they didn't get what it was they didn't give to you. So maybe they didn't have it because they never got it. And maybe their parents, your grandparents, didn't get it because they didn't give it because they didn't get it. And all the way back. Yeah. See what I'm saying? We're all together in this diseased world, going crazier and against authority. That's another whole thing with anarchy. I don't even want to go there today. So I'm talking about healing. Forgiveness. It's important if people come and say, here are my three R's of forgiveness. If someone offends you, and it's not time to go into it now with Matthew 18, you got to tell them. If they have, here are the three. If they recognize how they hurt you, recognition. Second, if they regret it. Third, if they repent. If they say, you know, I won't do that again. I'm sorry. Okay. If they do those three, then you need to forgive them. That's what Jesus is saying. Yeah. Just as we need to be forgiven. Final minute or two, because as I say, in the future, I'll give a session on forgiveness and tell you stories, is deliverance. There is, in fact, the demonic. And occasionally, yes, I've been involved with the demonic. But for the most of us, I want to say anything that binds you into unfreedom is a demon. Alcohol, drugs, gambling addiction, addictions. There is only one power great enough to free us from those addictions. So if you are freed, for example, recognizing your helplessness against alcohol or gambling, you turn to the higher power. It doesn't mean if you're in a state of recovery, that's okay, God delivered me from that, now I can go back and drink or not go back and go to a gambling house. No. But you're free from the addiction. You need to continue to be healed ongoing, we're being in a recovering state. We're all recovering from something. All of us are. We all have wounded areas, or as I say, ground under construction. I have ground under construction in me, so do you. And those are the areas I don't want to get pushed into because, I'm liable to snap. I'm okay, but don't go down that path because, you know, I had a bad thing there. Being healed doesn't necessarily mean until we pass through this life that there are not areas that will always be under construction. But you thank God you're not in pain, you're not addicted, that you have the freedom. Now, another example, this psychologist, Rollo May, said a daemon is any natural function capable of taking over a whole personality. Even for a moment, anger is an example of a demon. People, as you know, can do horrible things and walk around with an anger. You say that person is just so angry that they're just not free of it. They need to get free and they need healing. The same thing would be a fear, like a phobia, whatever, that binds you. So Jesus came to set the captives free. And believe me, there's great power in Christ to free us from our fears, our angers. Lust can be another demon that can take over. All of these things prevent us from receiving the simple, pure, great love of God in Jesus Christ. Well, I think I'm almost out of time. So, my friends, next time I'm going to return to the three dimensions of receiving, sharing, and giving love. And I think we're ready now to go to the second sacrament about sharing love. If you'd like to hear this, It'll be on later on my website. Please, I have a new website. Check it, please. DrHalGreen.com, DrHalGreen.com. And also, I now have my own channel on YouTube, and I got 47 YouTube little videos. It's Dr. Hal Green Channel. Oh, man, have I got things to tell you, but there's not time. So listen in next week, and I'll tell you more. God bless you. Have a good week.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine.